Welcome to the Football Game Plan Radio Network, where football makes sense. This is our draft prospect analysis show. I'm your host, Chris James, senior draft analyst over here at Football Game Plan. And an excellent show lined up for you this week, folks. We're getting down to it. Good time as any to let you all know. This will be the last episode of the draft prospect analysis show, at least for a little while. The Football Game Plan Radio Network will still keep putting out quality programming. We'll still be answering questions via Twitter, our Facebook page, in any variant of social media. But we will have some quality information to put out there for you folks. But this show is just going to be put on hold for a little bit. So we're going to finish up with the assessment of each player that was drafted in the 2015 NFL Draft. Last week I did the AFC South, the AFC North, East, and West. This week I'm doing the NFC North, East, and West in that particular order. As usual, I'm going to go in alphabetical order with each of the divisions. So when I start with the North, I'm going to start with Chicago. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a grade for each of the players drafted. Kind of an explanation as to why I gave them that grade. And then some undrafted free agents that you should look out for, keep an eye on. They have a chance to either make the roster for this team or another team, or they're just guys who I think can be impactful, whether it's practice squad or even if they don't make a squad this year, they'll have an NFL future at some point. You know, the Aaron Fosters of the world exist where they went undrafted, missed a camp, got cut, signed, and then ended up making the roster and being a star. So, you never know, the Victor Cruzes of the world, these guys, the guys who end up having huge preseason games and injuries occur, and all of a sudden they're a big-time player. So, that's what we're going to do. Like I said, it's bittersweet, you know. This is the 136th edition of the Draft Prospect Analysis Show. We've been doing this for well over 3 years. So, like I said, taking a little break from it. But what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and jump in. And remember, if you want to participate in the show, that call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. So the Chicago Bears had 6 draft picks in the 2015 NFL Draft, and their objective was to do a few things. Number one, they lost Brandon Marshall. Number two, they needed to still shore up the offensive and defensive line interiors because of what they did last year. Number three, needed to find an adequate backup running back for the guy they call Matt Forte. And I think that even though I didn't give them the best grade in the overall draft, I gave them a great grade. Sorry about that. I gave them an A-. I think that they accomplished quite a bit. So let's see what they did. With the 7th overall pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, they drafted Kevin White, wide receiver out of West Virginia. Give it a B+. You know, White's talent speaks to a top 10 pick, but he's another Z receiver on the roster with all Z and Y options. Still a solid selection. I thought that maybe Devontae Parker would have been a better pick for this particular squad. But, again, Kevin White will be a useful tool. Second round, 39th overall pick. Eddie Golden, defensive tackle out of Florida State, gave it a B-. You know, they're still trying to fill that hole, whether it's been Steven Paella, whether it's been Ego Ferguson, whoever they've drafted in the middle to fill the hole in the interior, picking up Lamar Houston, guys like that. They just haven't been able to get it done. Eddie is a very active player who can play the nose, shade, play anywhere you need him to play on the deep interior, and he can stop the run. That's what he holds up well against. That's what they need, and I think he'll do a good job filling. Third round, first overall pick, Aronis Grasu, center out of Oregon, give it an A+. Remember, he was one of my top 15 for 2015, my preseason top 15 picks. One of two offensive linemen on there, also Cameron Irving. I thought that he had late first-round talent. After seeing him this season with some negatives, he had some injuries. He's had an injury history. Going in the third round with the 71st overall pick, this is a guy who could be a starter for this squad at center in the future and for a long period of time. Fourth round, 106th overall pick, Jeremy Langford, running back out of Michigan State, gave it a B. I like the addition of Langford to back up Forte, a guy with quick feet and explosive speed, even though he didn't run that way. 4.43 really showed the type of speed he has. He can play anywhere near that speed on the field. He's an effective number two option for a running back. again, they just haven't had the guy to back up Matt Forte. This can be a great complement to him, and the Chicago team can be even more explosive. Fifth round, 142nd overall pick, Adrian Amos, free safety out of Penn State. Gave it a B+. You know, drafted Brock Berean last year. They've had issues with having a safety back there who can really control the middle. They've had a lot of combo safety. I think that while Adrian Amos has some combo safety qualities, he is a center fielder in some respects, and I think he can fit in, especially early on in sub-packages, come in pass downs. But he can hold up on all three downs, in my opinion. Sixth round, 183rd overall pick, Teo Fabuli. Offensive tackle out of TCU. Gave it a B. To me, what they did with this pick is they went with more depth for an offensive line that, let's be honest, it had injuries, and then it just decided not to play at points last year for Mr. Jay Cutler. Now you get a guy who can come in there, a good field guy. He can even swing inside and play left guard if necessary. I think that he has a lot of skill and a lot of talent that could fit on this roster. So here are a few guys who are undrafted free agents that could make the roster, at least make a push. Shane Carden, quarterback out of ECU. I'm a big fan of this kid. I told you he's a gunslinger mentality type guy. Actually, my comparable for him was a Jay Cutler type of guy. More athleticism than you think, can get up the field if necessary via the run. But he's got a big arm, but they are inconsistent. So being an undrafted free agent, this is huge for them. I think that he could work his way on the roster and possibly be their backup quarterback of the future. Jacoby Glenn, cornerback out of UCF. You know, the retirement of a Charles Tillman type guy really speaks to necessary help at that corner position. Remember, they got Kyle Wilson last year. And now you look and you say, okay, well, what can they do with the addition of a corner like this? I think that he was not ready to be drafted and be depended on, but as an undrafted guy, he can come in, possibly be using some sub-packages and be very useful. John Timo, outside linebacker out of Washington, can come off the edge with his hand on the ground, can also play in a two technique with a two-point stance, and play effective as a Sam linebacker. Brian Vogler, tight end slash fullback out of Alabama, a guy who's used to blocking, used to making contact, and I think that he's actually smart enough to play fullback on the next level if necessary. And then Terry Williams, defensive tackle out of ECU, I actually think that he is on par with Goldman as far as the combination of football talent and football skill and mindset. I think that he's a smarter football player than Goldman. Goldman just has more talent. So they might have gotten themselves a heck of a steal with Terry Williams, a guy who can really play the nose if necessary. Moving on, Chicago, to the next team in this particular division, the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers, we saw what happened, went to the NFC Championship, really dominated the game, and ended up coming up on the losing end because of just some circumstance that was just amazing. Let's see what Green Bay did in this particular draft to take care of some area of need. Now, they had 8 picks in this particular draft, their first 30th overall pick, and they went with Demaryius Randle, defensive back out of Arizona State. I gave it a C. You know, to me, if you wanted help at safety, you should have gone with Landon Collins. Now, the interesting thing is that he's a combo player back there, and he can play corner if necessary. They have the intention of moving him to corner, so it's not as bad of an impact. I want to see how that works out. I think there were better corners on the board and better combo guys such as Josh Shaw that were available at this point. Second round, 62nd overall pick, Quentin Rollins, cornerback out of Miami, gave it a B. Here's a guy who I think could be successful at free safety, but he has the type of ball skills and physical ability to play corner. It'll be interesting to see what they do with these two guys. You see that they're going secondary heavy in this draft early on, going with their first 2 picks with that particular position. Third round, 94th overall pick, Ty Montgomery, wide receiver out of Stanford, B+. Here's the interesting thing. They keep seeming to go with more and more talent for Aaron Rodgers. It's amazing. Devontae Adams a couple of years ago, and you look at Randall Cobb even, 3 years ago or 4 years ago. You have Jordy Nelson there. It's like they keep filling up the tank. Jarrett Boykins was there. I'm really confused as to this pick. I understand that they probably went with the value pick here, but I didn't understand where he's going to fit on that wide receiving core. Let's see if he's able to be as useful as he could have been for some other squads. Fourth round, 129th overall pick, Jake Ryan, outside linebacker out of Michigan. I give it a solid C. Reason why is because I think that there were better options available. Ryan is a guy with a heavy motor. He's like a poor man's Ryan Kerrigan, in my opinion, just watching him play. And that's not an insult. That's actually a positive. That's a guy who's a top 100 player in the NFL as voted on by his peers. So I think that this guy could have that type of impact. They needed to figure out what to do with this kid, and they figured that he would fit into their system very well. Fifth round, 147th overall pick, Brett Huntley, quarterback out of UCLA. Give it a B+. The position at which they got him with, and also the fact that he fits what they do in Green Bay very well. I think that having him with spread out options, passing into very open windows and using his athleticism will be a beneficial thing for this kid. I think that he can be big time if given the opportunity to. And Aaron Rodgers has suffered some injuries over the last few years. Sixth round, 206th overall pick, Aaron Rutkowski, fullback out of Oklahoma. Fullback slash H-back. Give it a C. Reason being, I didn't think that they needed this position, especially at this pick. I thought that they still needed more intense help on the defensive line, and they didn't get that so far in this particular draft. Sticking in the sixth round, 210th overall pick, they take care of that with Christian Ringo, defensive end slash tackle out of Louisiana Lafayette. Give it a B-. I think that he's an active guy who will play that five technique form and be very good and very effective with what he does. You can even line up at the three if necessary, but I think that he is better suited to be a penetration guy that's not a penetrate and stop guy instead of trying to actually get to the quarterback. Sixth round, 213th overall pick, Kennard Bachman, tight end out of UAB. Gave it a C-. Now, people might ask why I gave it a C-. Here's the thing. There are other guys on the board, such as Ben Koyak, Brian Anderson, just other guys on the board at the tight end position that could be more useful, especially if they have about 9 tight ends on the roster already. Didn't know what this team was trying to do with this particular situation. And remember, I gave Green Bay an overall grade of a C+. Thought that they got some good field guys, but I thought in general they just didn't really have something that they went with, other than trying to address the secondary. Here's some undrafted guys that could really make the roster, and there's a lot of talent to pick. Adrian Coxon, wide receiver out of Stony Brook, heck of a football player. He should land somewhere and be very useful. Larius Gunter, safety out of Miami, another guy who, honestly, I don't understand how he wasn't drafted. Only 250 or so guys drafted this year, so that's what happened, but good pickup. Jimmy Hunt, wide receiver out of Missouri. Even though they're loaded at wide receiver, Jimmy Hunt is a guy who has a specialized skill set. He does make the big-time catch. He's not consistent, though, and that's why he went undrafted. Jamari Roscoe, outside linebacker out of LSU, learned how to play with his hand off the ground, did very well, and I think that he could stick on this roster. And James Vaughters, outside linebacker out of Stanford, a guy who really did kind of decline, didn't have the type of year he expected to have. Let's see if he's able to make a roster in this NFL. Sticking in the NFC North, we're going with the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota, as usual, had a lot of picks. They do a lot of wheeling and dealing this particular year. They didn't have to do as much early on, but they did some late. They had 10 picks. Let's see how they were able to help their squad, the Fighting Bridgewaters. First pick, 11th overall, Trey Wayne, cornerback out of Michigan State. Actually scaled it up, gave it a B. Before I gave it a C+, but gave it a B. The need was there for corner, but I think that this was too high of a pick for the player of this talent. But he is a useful piece for what they were trying to do. They did need a corner. Second round, 45th overall pick, Eric Kendricks, inside linebacker out of UCLA. Gave it an A. You know, you get a guy in there who I thought could play in the 3-4 or the 4-3 as an inside linebacker. I thought that he was extremely effective at that position. And even though I thought there were some guys who played a little better, he is going to fit in quite nicely in Minnesota. Third round, 88th overall pick, Danielle Hunter, defensive end out of LSU, C+. I feel like Danielle Hunter is a better run stuffer than people give him credit for, and he's not as good of a pass as people probably think from his size. A guy who will probably hold up and actually play on the left side, even though that's usually a larger guy because he's going up against the double team of the tight end and the tackle. He can hold up against the run, though, so he'll be on that strong side, in my opinion, and he could be a useful tool for this particular roster. Fourth round, 110th overall pick, T.J. Clements, offensive tackle out of Pittsburgh, A+. Reason being, I thought they got a first-round talent in the fourth round, and he's going to be very useful for this roster, playing at tackle or even guard if necessary. Fifth round, 143rd overall pick, McCole Pruitt, tight end out of Southern Illinois. Heard some good things about this guy, and he's going to get a B-minus grade. I think that they know that they needed help at the tight end position, know that they needed someone who will be effective, and he can play in line or split out. And this will be a useful tool for them. And in that fifth round, I thought they got a lot of wins. Fifth round, 146th overall pick, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver out of Maryland. Gave it an A. I thought with the additions that they have, with the Mike Wallaces of the world being an addition, they really, going with Stephon Diggs, he's going to be a guy who can work the slot or play outside and give Teddy Bridgewater even more talent to work with. I'm glad they're helping this young man out, just like Jacksonville helped out Blake Bortles. Sixth round, 185th overall pick, Tyrus Thompson, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Gave it a B. Strengthen that line. Give them as much as possible on that line. I'm a big fan of what they're doing this year with picks like that. Sixth round, 193rd overall pick, B.J. DuBose, defensive end out of Louisville. Gave it a C. Thought that he wasn't he'll probably kick inside at some point. We'll see what happens with this particular player. And Minnesota trying to strengthen both sides of the line. Seventh round, 228th overall pick, Austin Shepherd, offensive tackle out of Alabama, gave it a B as well. You see what they're doing. You now see what they're doing. They're getting strength guys and guys who can play both tackle and guard, figuring out how to handle that position because they know that Teddy Bridgewater faced way too much pressure last year, especially from the interior on the right side. Seventh round, 232nd overall pick, Edmund Robinson, outside linebacker from Newberry, gave it a C+. He is actually a very effective player out of Newberry. Didn't get the credit he deserved, a little undersized, but I think that what's going to happen is he's going to be an effective sub package guy, can come off the edge and do what he needs to do if necessary. Undrafted free agents who could make the roster or you should watch out for. This corner I actually think is big time and could make this roster. Justin Coleman, cornerback out of Tennessee. Really liked his game. He didn't have the elite stats, and that's probably why he went undrafted. Devarius Daniels, wide receiver out of Notre Dame. Probably their best wide receiver last year. Reminds me of Golden Tate with the way that he pursues the ball. A little aggressive. I do like that, and he might be able to sneak into the practice squad with that aggression. Tom Fenoik, sorry about that. Center slash guard out of Iowa State. More offensive line help. You see what they're doing. Again, just building that squad. Anthony Harris, safety out of Virginia. Remember, I was a big proponent of him. Thought he had second to third round talent. And then Taylor Heinicke, quarterback out of ODU, Old Dominion. I like Taylor Heinicke, leading passer in that school's history for a reason. He's got a lot of grit to him. And I think that he can make an NFL roster and be very impressive. So those are the guys that you're looking out for from the NFC North. And there's one more team in the NFC North. That's what happens when you try to go through that way. Missed them, but this is probably the team that could win the division this year. With seven picks in the 2015 draft, the Detroit Lions. My fault, Lions fans, you got left behind, but guess what? That's just where you want to be this upcoming season. You want to be under the radar. Let Green Bay take all that flack. Let Chicago be the focus of the team that could sneak up on people, and let Minnesota be the team that no one cares about, quote-unquote, because they're too young. Well, let Detroit just sit there and be one of the best defenses in the NFL with an explosive offense. So with those seven picks, what did they do to get the team better? Remember, I gave Detroit an overall grade of B+. I was very impressed with what they did, including that first pick, first round, 28th overall pick, Laken Tomlinson, guard out of Duke, gave it an A-. I like the fact they went with guard early. They knew where they needed help, they knew where they needed strength, and they went to protect both Matt Stafford and the running game. Second round, 54th overall pick, Amir Abdullah, running back out of Nebraska, another A-. While Joique Bell is going to be the first guy to get the touches, Amir Abdullah is a guy who's going to be a great change of pace, and I actually think in some respects an upgrade to Reggie Bush because he's a smarter runner inside than Reggie Bush was early in his career, and he can develop into the go-to guy for this particular roster. Third round, 80th overall pick, Alex Carter, cornerback out of Stanford, C plus. Still needing help at corner. They like physical guys who come up. Carter can do that. He's not the best guy from a athletic perspective, but who cares? He can play football. Fourth round, 113th overall pick, Gabe Wright, defensive tackle out of Auburn. Give it a B. Gabe Wright, when he's on, he's one of the best tackles in this draft. When he's not on, he is disappointing. Now, the unfortunate thing is he's about a 50-50 guy. He seems to take some time off on the field sometimes. That's the negative. That's why if they can get that activity out of him that he showed at Auburn at times, they would have themselves a steal in the fourth round. Fifth round, 168th overall pick, Michael Burton, fullback out of Rutgers. Gave it a C. More of a dedication to the running game and getting a lead blocker in there will be key. And I think that they're going to be a little stronger in that aspect and not throw the ball quite as much as they have in the past. Sixth round, 200th overall pick, Quandre Diggs, defensive back out of Texas. Give it a B. Quandre Diggs will help out at corner and also in spot duty at safety if necessary. Seventh round, 240th overall pick, Corey Robinson, offensive tackle out of South Carolina. B plus. I think getting him in the seventh round is huge, and also getting a guy who has a talent, didn't really pan out as consistently as you might have liked. I like this addition. He's one of those guys who could sneak in there and be a sneaky starter for a team later in the year or in the future. Here are some undrafted guys for Detroit that could make a roster. Al Bond, guard from Memphis. Casey Pierce, tight end / H-back from Kent State. And then a guy who I'm pretty much a fan of since I've been introduced to him, Zach Zinner, running back out of South Dakota State. Heck of a running back. So let's see. He might be able to steal some carries this upcoming season. So we're going to move on to the NFC East. Remember, if you want to participate in the show, folks, that call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. The Dallas Cowboys are up first on the docket when we come to the NFC East. And remember, they were one of the least impressive drafts, in my opinion. They had some good decisions. They had some really interesting moves. I gave them a C-minus on the draft. I just thought that it was a very unfocused draft with the way that they went. They got some players that were helpful, but overall, I thought that they didn't really have much of a direction that I agreed with personally. And even with what they were doing, I thought that they could have gone with some other players. So first round, 27th overall pick, Byron Jones, cornerback out of UConn, gave it a C. I understand what they're trying to do as far as going to corner, but this was not the guy, in my opinion. I think he got drafted off of his physical ability, jumping 12 feet. But again, when guys run 4.2s and don't play like they run a 4.2, or when they broad jump 12 feet, and he might play like that, but who the heck's going to use that? Is he going to block kicks? Is he going to go with jump balls against Megatron or AJ Green? That's great, but can he actually cover them? That's why I gave it a C. I don't think that his coverage skills are on par with his physical ability yet. Let's see if it develops. Second round, 60th overall selection, Randy Gregory, outside linebacker / defensive end out of Nebraska, A+. They get a top 10 talent guy who decided to make some poor choices. Now, we see the issue with Randy Gregory. We hope that he gets a little bit better with his decision-making. At the end of the day, they have themselves a heck of a physical player who, if everything holds up, they might have gotten a steal of the draft. Third round, 91st overall pick. Here's where I had the contention. Chaz Green, offensive tackle out of Florida. I don't give out Fs because I don't believe in Fs from the standpoint. I did it in year one that I did this. I gave this a D, though. That's one of the lowest grades I'll give you. To me, Chaz Green didn't show that he was a dominant enough player while in college at any point to warrant a third round pick. There were guys who were so much more impressive. Now, if he ends up panning out, he's got some physical skills to him, but I just have not seen it to warrant that selection. I watched a lot of Florida football, so that's why I gave this a D. Fourth round, 127th overall pick, Damian Wilson, inside linebacker out of Minnesota, gave it a C. I understand what they're trying to do there. They've had some injuries. You don't know how Sean Lee's going to come back. You lost Bruce Carter. I wonder if this was a decision made because Wilson played pretty consistently for Minnesota. Fifth round, 163rd overall pick, Ryan Russell, defensive end out of Purdue, C+. I think that he does not really fit the scheme of what they're trying to do, but he is an active player who keeps coming around the edge. He does not die off. Seventh round, they had three selections in the seventh round. The first one was the 236th overall pick, Mark Nzioka, outside linebacker out of Wyoming. Gave it a C. Again, I think that he might be helpful. Didn't see much on this kid. Know that he has a little bit of physical skill to him, but it feels more like a reach than anything else, in my opinion. I thought there were some better players on the board, but at least he has some physical ability to him. Let's see if he's able to acclimate himself to the NFL game. Seventh round, sticking in it, 243rd overall pick, Lawrence Gibson, offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech, another C grade. Just thought that this was a pick that, you know, getting another fill guy to play tackle. I don't even know if he's going to make the roster. Let's see what's going to happen. I don't believe in picking guys just to pick them because you're there. I think that every draft pick that you make should have a really good chance of making the roster unless for some reason you had an overload of players on your roster that were already signed. Dallas didn't have that problem. And in the seventh round, last pick, 246th overall pick, Geoff Swam, tight end out of Texas. I gave it a D, and this is not an indictment against him. Don't have that much on him. Did see a little bit of him. At the end of the day, it's an indictment on the selection when you have Gerald Christian and Rory Anderson out there, guys who would have fit a little bit better with what you want to do, especially Gerald Christian. Here's some undrafted free agents that will make the roster or could, and there you have some impressive guys. Lyle Collins will possibly be a starter on their offensive line for him out of LSU. He's an offensive tackle. He might move to guard, though. Deontay Greenberry, wide receiver out of Houston, local product, physical ability. Let's see if he actually holds up. Shane McDermott, center out of Miami, another good fill guy who could have gone in the draft. And Antoine Goodley, wide receiver out of Baylor, not from too far away in Waco. He is a guy who is very impressive, in my opinion, with his run-after-catch skill. Almost runs more like a running back. Reminds me of Dwayne Harris, who actually plays on this roster already, and they might use him in that capacity. So the Dallas Cowboys, we move on from them to the next team in the NFC East, the New York Football Giants. Again, I say that facetiously every time. Now, the Giants are an interesting team. Didn't have that many picks this year, only six, but I liked what they did in the draft. Big fan of what the Giants were able to pull off in this NFL draft this particular season, and I gave them a B+. Co-signed to a lot of their picks, some picks, or at least one, I was a little confused on, but I think they don't care. Their first-round pick, ninth overall, Ereck Flowers, offensive tackle out of Miami, gave it a B, you know. Blindside protector for Eli Manning. They had a lot of trouble last year, and I think that he can clean some of that up for him. Second round, 33rd overall pick, Landon Collins, safety out of Alabama, A+. He was my fourth-rated player overall, behind only number three, Vic Beasley, number two, Amari Cooper, and number one, Jameis Winston. I think that he is by far the best safety in this draft, a position of extreme need for this team, and they moved up to get him. They said, screw it, we're going to get this guy. Love that. Third round, 74th overall pick, Uau Duguazia. Why? I can never say this kid's name. Defensive end out of UCLA. Had a lot of Brian Arakpo, in my opinion, the way that he played. Scaled down, was able to get up the field, but then pause, get his hands up, defend well against the run. Gave it a B+. Think that getting an active front will be great for this particular squad. That's why they were able to win Super Bowls in the past. It was having that defensive line that was pretty dominant. Fifth round, 144th overall pick, Michael A. Thompson, safety out of Texas. Gave it a B. They know what they need help with. And outside of Antoine Roe last year, they had some foolishness going on. And then secondary with Stevie Brown and those boys, I don't understand what was going on. The Will Hills of the world, they seem to be confused and lost. Now you have two safeties in there who both have great ball skills, even though they're both strong safeties. Sixth round, 186th overall selection, Jeremy Davis, wide receiver out of UConn, gave it a C. Davis has some talent. Saw very little of him in the American, but I thought there were better options that were available, but at the same point in time, they knew that they did need help at the wide receiver position, and Davis may be able to provide it for him. In seventh round, 226th overall pick, Bobby Hart, offensive lineman out of Florida State, gave it a B. Reason being is not because of the production level of Hart. Reason being is because they know where they need help. Hart does have talent. He'll be a good fill guy who can play multiple positions, four on the offensive line, both guards, both tackles. So that is production and positivity. One guy who might be able to make the roster as an undrafted free agent, Will Tye, the tight end out of Stony Brook. That's the only one that I saw that I really think has the opportunity to make the roster. Moving on to the Philadelphia Eagles, the Fighting Chip Kellys. Now, the Eagles are an interesting team because they've been in the media for positive and negative reasons, whatever. Again, LeSean McCoy, respect the heck out of you on the field. You sounded like an idiot. If you're going to make a statement like that, you got to make it make a little more sense. All right? Just make it make a little more sense. And if people don't agree with me, guess what? I don't care if you don't agree with me. Not my place to care if you agree with me. In fact, good. Don't agree with me. Anyway, six picks in this draft for the Philadelphia Eagles, and what were they able to do? 20th overall selection, and with Nelson Aguilar, wide receiver out of USC, gave it a B. You know, Aguilar is an upgrade to Macklin, in my opinion, from where they are. People think, oh, you mean right now? No, Macklin's been in the league for a few years. He's a veteran now. I mean, coming out of college, I think he's better than Macklin was. Anyway, and should impact this offense immediately. Kelly's scheme doesn't require a true X, so Matthews and Aguilar are great pieces for this particular scheme. Second round, 47th overall pick, Eric Rowe, cornerback out of Utah, gave it a B. I like the fact that he went and got a physical corner who can bump and ride with a receiver, also can play a little safety if necessary, but I think he's going to be a corner, and he's going to be the physical field side corner for them. Third round, 84th overall pick, Jordan Hicks, outside linebacker out of Texas. Give it a C. I think he's actually Chip Kelly's type of outside linebacker, a guy who can chase and tackle. He's not really a face-up tackle guy, good in coverage as well. But at the end of the day, I don't think that they needed that. That's just an opinion. Sixth round, 191st overall pick, Ja'Cory Shepherd, cornerback out of Kansas. Gave it a B-. I like this kid. I think he high points the ball. He has good ball skills. And this is another good selection. They cleared out the house at cornerback. Sticking in the sixth round, 196th overall pick, Randall Evans, cornerback out of Kansas State. Now, before I say the grade, and everyone who knows Randall Evans gets upset, this is more of an indictment against this pick than him as a player. Him as a player, I'd give a C plus to, but I'm giving this a C minus. Their third corner, and that was not where they needed help at this point. They already have two of them. I think they needed some safety help. Unless they're planning on moving Rowe to safety, I don't like the selection at this point in time. 237th overall pick, Brian Mahelik, defensive end out of Boston College, gave it a C. Kelly going again with a guy who holds up from the edge fairly well against the run. Let's see if that is really what he wants for this particular roster. Some undrafted free agents that have the chance to make the roster. Brett Boyko, offensive lineman out of Nevada. The release of Evan Mathis speaks to them needing help at offensive guard, and Boyko might be able to help with at least depth at this point. Devontae Davis, wide receiver out of UNLV. I actually like Davis and what he has to offer. I think that he could work pretty well as the streak guy in this particular offense. Malcolm Bunch, offensive lineman out of UCLA. Good push, an offensive line at UCLA that was terrible at one point and got much, much better, much improved, and they could be a force this upcoming season. Moving on to the last team in the NFC East, the Washington Redskins, lots of picks. Remember, they finished last in the division. They knew when they needed help. They need to protect. And I'm going to jump on my high horse really quickly. RG3 has played like crap. Okay, I'm going to say that. That being said, they have protected him zero times. It's almost as if RG3 like messed over their sister or something, because Trent Williams is the guy who's blocking. Other offensive linemen on that line, I don't understand what you're doing. At some point in time, you have to block for someone. You had four good games all of last year as an offensive line unit. Two were for Kirk Cousins. One was for RG3, and one was for Colt McCoy. You got RG3 killed. You got Kirk Cousins, I thought he was dead. And then you got Colt McCoy knocked out of a game. Do better. And what did they do to address that? Their first pick, fifth overall, they went with Brandon Scherff, offensive lineman out of Iowa. I gave it a C+. I think he's going to end up playing guard in this league. Either way, if he plays on the he's not going to play left tackle. So if he plays, or right tackle either, if he plays left guard, I think that this is a good pickup for him. I just didn't like the position at which they got him. But at the end of the day, they got a player that should be good for them. Second round, 38th overall selection, Preston Smith, defensive end out of Mississippi State, C-plus as well. I think that they can get a good feel out of this guy playing him at the actual defensive end in that 3-4 scheme. Third round, 95th overall pick, Matt Jones, running back out of Florida. I gave it a C-. People were like, do you hate Florida players? I actually don't. I actually do not at all. I gave this a C-minus grade, not because Matt Jones isn't what they need for this roster as far as a one-cut downhill runner. Taking this guy, a one-cut downhill runner, in the third round was unnecessary. I felt like Matt Jones, at best, was a sixth-round pick, and he would have probably been there in the sixth to seventh round. That's the indictment against them. Not against Jones. He actually fits the scheme fairly well. And if he ends up being very useful, then that's fine. But they already have a guy who's a starter. You don't pick this guy in the third round with the intention of him not getting somewhere near 90 to 100 carries this upcoming season. Fourth round, 105th overall selection, Jamison Crowder, wide receiver out of Duke, B+. Again, placing Andre Roberts, a guy who's going to come in there, play that slot very well, help in the return game, allowing them not to have DeSean Jackson do anything in the return game at all, focus all his energy at the wide receiver position. Beautiful. Fourth round, 112th overall selection, Ari Quangio, guard out of Alabama, B-. I understand. They're trying to strengthen that line. And thank you for finally taking care of it. Thought there were some guys who were a little better than Quangio at this particular place that he was selected, but guess what? They're doing the job they're supposed to. Fifth round, 141st overall selection, Martell Spate, outside linebacker out of Arkansas. Gave it a C. He's more of an outside linebacker in the 4-3. He's more of a will guy. In this particular scheme, he's going to play, have to play inside linebacker. Let's see if he's able to do that and make that transition and switch. Sixth round, 181st overall pick, Keshawn Jarrett, safety out of Virginia Tech, gave it an A. Good combo safety. They might actually get someone back there who understands how to play the ball when it's in the air. Virginia Tech safeties do pretty well, in my opinion. Sticking to the sixth round, they had three of those picks. The next pick, in fact, 182nd overall, Tevin Mitchell, cornerback out of Arkansas, gave it a C. I don't think corner was the issue last year in some respects. Tevin Mitchell is a physical guy who can come up and play it. I just thought they could go somewhere else in this particular position in the draft. I would have, again, addressed the offensive line or even the defensive line again. Sixth round, 187th overall selection, Evan Spencer, wide receiver out of Ohio State, C+. Okay, maybe I'm being biased here. Evan Spencer caught like 30 passes in his college career. Evan Spencer is not a physical freak of any means. The C-plus comes in, and drafting him in the sixth round kind of doesn't make sense. It comes with this. Evan Spencer, much like when James Wright was drafted last year by Cincinnati, and I gave him, or 2 years ago when I gave James Wright an F grade, and I stopped giving out Fs at that point, this guy is a football player. He's going to be on special teams. He might be a Pro Bowl special teamer, which is helpful for a team. He'll come in on third downs and spot duty as the fourth or even fifth receiver in some particular situations, and he'll make the big catch. He's going to have like four catches over the next year, in the next season, if he makes this roster. All four will be big third down converting catches because that's the type of player he is. Seventh round, 222nd overall pick, Austin Ritter, center out of USF, gave it a C. You know I get to see the center that went undrafted who was a first-round caliber player. That's where I'm going to leave it. Anyway, under free agents that could make the roster, Corey Crawford, defensive end out of Clemson, think he fits well. Think he can slide inside and be fine. Trey Williams, running back out of A&M. More of a shifty guy, less of a one-cut runner. He likes to dance a little bit, but with the talent he has, he is a change of pace back that could make this roster. Terrence Plummer, inside linebacker out of UCF. I actually think that he has a better chance of making the roster than Martell Spate, who was drafted in the fifth round. So let's see if Terrence Plummer, who's one of my top inside linebackers, is able to do so. And Deshaun Davis, inside linebacker out of Syracuse, another guy who actually is better, in my opinion, than Spate for this particular team. Moving on, folks. We're going to go to NFC West. Remember, if you want to participate in the show, that call-in number is 323 657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. The NFC West starts off alphabetically with the Arizona Cardinals, the team from the desert that won a bunch of games and couldn't get it done in the season. They had 7 draft picks, and with the first pick in the 24th overall pick, T.J. Humphrey, offensive tackle out of Florida, give it a B-. Understand why they picked this guy, but I didn't think Humphreys was a first-round caliber player. Not because of his physical ability, but because of how non-dominant he was at times at Florida. I think that he flashed dominance and can develop into that. But since I never saw it consistently at Florida, I'm not impressed with that. That being said, this is the type of guy with the talent he does possess when he has flashed it that could be your Pro Bowl tackle for a long time. So, gave it a B-. Going with a little bit of hope here that he starts being more consistent, with his particular dominance as an offensive tackle, especially at left tackle. Second round, 58th overall selection, Marcus Golden, defensive end out of Missouri. Give it a C. The fit here just didn't make sense to me as much. I think that he is not going to play at the outside line position. They're not going to slide him to the 5. So what is he going to be doing? Third round, 86th overall pick, David Johnson, running back out of Northern Iowa. Gave it a B. You know, this guy will play multiple roles for this particular squad. I think that he can play like a fullback. He can also play single back, play the true tailback. He can play multiple positions for this particular roster, giving Andre Ellington a spell. And remember, they lost Ryan Williams to Dallas. So let's see what happens with Dave Johnson and how effective he can be. I think he can be very effective for this roster. Fourth round, 116th overall selection, Rodney Gunter, defensive tackle out of Delaware State, C+. Guy who's active up front, he will play that 5 tech and will do a good job at it. Fifth round, 158th overall selection, Shaquille Riddick, outside linebacker out of West Virginia, C+. Riddick is purely a pass rusher. He gets washed down in the fold when it comes to the run. If he develops any sort of run defense and able to hold to it, this kid will be a beast. But right now, I don't see it. I think that he's using spot duty as an outside edge rusher, specialist on third downs. Fifth round, 158th and the 59th overall selection, the next one, J.J. Nelson, wide receiver slash return man out of UAB. Gave it a C-. You know, Walter Powell and John Brown and all the guys who are the same guy on the roster already. Why pick a J.J. Nelson who, in my opinion, is not going to help you much on the offensive side of the ball? He'll help you in the special teams portion of the game. I think that that was an interesting pick. It would have been a higher grade for other teams that did need help in other positions. And this one, just to me, didn't make sense. And then seventh round, 256th overall pick, Mr. Irrelevant, Gerald Christian, tight end out of Louisville, gave it a B. You know, you get a threat there from the tight end H-back position. I think he can play inline and actually be very effective for this roster. Undrafted free agent who could possibly make the roster. I only saw one who really could do something. Xavier Williams, nose tackle out of Northern Iowa, has a chance to make the roster. Moving on, all these teams are S teams out of the West, and starting with San Francisco. Frisco, as usual, had about 95 picks this year. In all honesty, they had 10, but still overall selection trade with the San Francisco Chargers, who wanted to jump up Melvin Gordon. Smart decision. They stepped back two positions and got Eric Armstead, defensive end, out of Oregon. Give it a C. I think it's a very basic pick. The fact that they gained a pick with trade makes me happy, but I do not support this pick. Armstead's inconsistent use of technique coupled with lackluster effort puts up a red flags all over the place. Let's see if he's more consistent. That'd be huge for this team if he is. Especially a defense that's this depleted has had everyone on the freaking roster retire. Second round, 46th overall selection, Trequesky Tartt, safety out of Samford, gave it a C+. That C+ comes from Tartt's ability because they already have 95 safeties on the roster. You have Eric Reed. You have Jimmy Ward. I'm thinking off the top of my head right now. You still have Antoine, but how many safeties are you going to use? Okay? So I'm just confused. That's why the B plus came, because he's really a B plus player, or B at least. Third round, 79th overall pick, Eli Harrell, defensive end slash outside linebacker out of good old Virginia. Give it a C plus. I think Harrell has a lot of physical ability. The negative is that I think he was drafted way too early, which is the common theme for this particular physical draft. Drafting guys with some talent, but they're drafted a little bit too early for my liking. Fourth round, 117th overall selection, Blake Bell, tight end slash utility player out of good old Oklahoma. Gave it a B. I like Blake Bell as a third tight end option, a guy who has a lot of physical skill and he's learning on the fly how to play this position. Also, he can be used in some packages as a quarterback, goal line packages. He can be used as the belldozer. Let's see if he's able to be successful with that. Fourth round, 132nd overall pick, or 126th overall pick, Mike Davis, running back out of South Carolina, B-. You know, taking another South Carolina running back, this one without the injury. You see, they lost Frank Gore. They cut other guys. I do like this selection. I think that he's a good spell back for Carlos Hyde, and he runs very hard in spurts. So this is a good selection for him. Fourth round, 132nd overall pick, DeAndre Smelter, wide receiver out of Georgia Tech, C+. I understand what they're trying to do. Trying to get big. They have some physical presence, fast guys, but they need someone who could be a red zone target or has that physical talent to do so. Fifth round, 165th overall pick, Bradley Pinion, punter out of Clemson, C-. Again, I don't believe in taking a punter in the draft unless your team is completely set. When you have 95 million people retiring, you have to pick defensive players. So drafting anyone who doesn't punt the ball 97 yards is silly. So hopefully this young man can come in, be the guy, be this great kicker, the Brian Anger type kicker, but I don't co-sign to this. Sixth round, 190th overall selection, Ian Silverman, guard out of Boston College, gave it a C. Understand, you know, losing Mike Iorati, they need to fill, but there's some other guys that could fill. Seventh round, 244th overall pick, Trenton Brown, offensive tackle out of Florida. Gave it a C. Trenton Brown is one of those guys that he was highly touted coming out of high school, highly touted at Florida, all this stuff. Brown has shown to have some issues, especially when he showed up almost 400 doggone pounds for a workout. He has been physically able to be dominant at that point, but I have not seen movement skills to really say that he should have been drafted at all. But I gave it a C because I understand what they're trying to do. Brown will probably end up playing, I don't even know, maybe right tackle. I don't know what they're going to do with Brown because they use a little bit of a pull. You know what the old offense used to? I'll be honest, I don't know what the offense is going to look like now. So they might use him as a guard, but I doubt that. I really do doubt that. I think they're going to use him as a right tackle and figure it out down the line. Seventh round, 254th overall selection, Rory Anderson, tight end out of South Carolina. C+. Interesting, this will be the fourth guy on the roster, tight end, but I think that they'll use all those guys. And I think Anderson is more of an oversized receiver than a tight end at this point, and this will be very useful for this squad. So some undrafted free agents that could make the roster. Flipper Anderson's son, Drez Anderson, speedster, wide receiver out of Utah. Another wide receiver, a guy who Emory actually really high on. I'm not that high on, but I think that he's a good player. And that's Darius Davis, wide receiver out of Henderson State. Marcus Rush, outside linebacker slash defensive end out of Missouri. He could be useful, especially with the absence of some of these rush ends and front seven defensive players that's happened. Another wide receiver who I do have high hopes for. He's very inconsistent, but he does make spectacular catches. That's DeAndre White, wide receiver out of Alabama. And then quarterback who's apparently killing it right now, Dylan Thompson, out of South Carolina. Let's move to the Seattle Seahawks. And we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Chris. It's Josh again. What's up?
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just going through the days. I was asking a question.
Sure.
Now, you've seen how Russell Wilson's contract situation has been going on. Do you think he's worth the money they're asking for? Because he's asking for $20 million guaranteed each year. Like, he's asking for Aaron Rodgers-type money. Do you think he's kind of worth that money? Because I think so, because you look at the Seahawks without him, it looks like a completely different offense. And you see what happens with him, and he looks – they'll win Super Bowls with him.
Sure, and that's a great question. And it's one that really puts an onus on how the NFL is constructed now. Is he worth it? We need to look at the other quarterbacks who named, let's say, Tom Brady, not named Aaron Rodgers, not named Drew Brees or Manning. So we'll leave those four guys out of the equation. We look at the contract Joe Flacco got after winning a Super Bowl, $20 million. And Joe Flacco wasn't the guy who threw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. He was the guy who made the proper decisions in clutch moments to win games. Okay, we look at other guys who've gotten contracts like that. Actually, guys who haven't even won Super Bowls. Ryan Tannehill and Andy Dalton got team-friendly deals at about $16.5 million, $17 million, but they haven't even won playoff games. So you look at Russell Wilson, already won a Super Bowl, played in two, and let's be honest, I mean, he had some of the better statistics as far as quarterback rating, total QBR of anyone in the league. The only young guy who's better than him is Andrew Luck. Yes, he deserves the type of money because he's won a Super Bowl. The guys who have also won Super Bowls are getting that type of money on their second deal, and that's just the landscape of the league. It's a quarterback-driven league. The negative for this team is they're constructed with a lot of superstars, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and if they pay Russell Wilson what he deserves, they're not going to be able to keep those guys. So they have to try to figure out, Russell, do you want to take $16 or $17 million more team-friendly to keep this team together, or do you want what you really deserve in the $20 to $22 million range and possibly lose two or so stars on that defense? So to answer your question, he's absolutely worth that money. But if he gets that contract, they'll end up in a similar position to the one that maybe the New Orleans Saints are in, where you have to trade other pieces because you can't afford a hard cap league to pay a quarterback that much and keep every piece that you have.
Right, because he probably won't, because let's say they can't afford to keep Bruce Irvin or Michael Bennett, but they better keep drafting well, because I was actually kind of surprised that what they did draft this upcoming year. It seemed like that they didn't want to draft a center that was, for some odd reason, or any interior offensive lineman. I mean, I know they have J.R. Sweezy, but they could have an improvement up in that spot. But, I mean, if they keep drafting and they hope that these guys pan out like they do on their college football tip, I mean, they should be okay, but you are right. I mean, it is kind of a little bit dicey because you don't want to, like, lose too much star power on the team, because they can win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, that's pretty much, they can win the NFC West easily this year with Russell Wilson, but I mean, it all depends on how much you're going to pay them. If they're going to keep prolonging the contract extensions until, let's say, next year, which will be, like, worse if they're done this year.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to, it's a wait and see game. And again, Seattle's going to have to figure out how they can, who they want to keep, who they're going to have to let go, and hopefully keep drafting well and teeing in guys, because that's how you keep a dynasty going or a team consistent going. You lock on to some players that are necessary and key, kind of like New England's done with Tom Brady, and you just keep drafting guys and bringing the guys to fill and hoping that you can keep the consistency.
Okay.
So definitely.
Oh, well, that was pretty much it, because...
No, yeah, great question, and I'm glad you called in.
No problem. No, one more thing.
Sure.
Now, this might be like a little bit of an off-balance question, but I'm pretty sure you're pretty much up on the next upcoming draft. You think Connor Cook is a first-round pick? Because I don't think he's a first-round pick at all. That's just me.
Is who a first-round pick?
Connor Cook. The quarterback from Michigan State?
No. When I said Connor Cook, I don't think he's a first-round pick. just an early projection, probably see him more in fourth round. Doesn't have the physical ability that's outstanding enough to make up for his deficiency throwing the ball. Throws late quite often. Has a strong enough arm to make throws, but he doesn't really assess and throw into the windows as consistently as a guy who should go in the first round does. What ends up happening with guys like that who don't have that skill set, they have to have overwhelming ability physically to make up for, i.e. the Ryan Tannehills or the RB3s, and he doesn't have that skill set. So Connor Cook, in my opinion, is not a first-round pick. Christian Hackenberg could be, because he is improving ever so much. We see how he plays next year. But both guys could play themselves in the first round. It's just at this point, I don't see it. He'll probably be reached for because that's what happens. Everyone's looking for the home run slam at quarterback.
Yeah, that's true, because they both came from pro-style systems, and apparently it's hard to evaluate spread quarterbacks now, but, you know, people were still picking up quarterbacks that came from the pros, and they still stunk. But apparently the spread's making it harder to evaluate quarterbacks, so apparently more teams are going to go towards more pro-style type of quarterbacks, but some of them just aren't as good as they make them out to be. Like, none of them are in Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson, who both came from pro-style systems. That's pretty much just the thing, because that's just how it is for this year.
No, and great point. At the end of the day, production and consistency play out more often than not. I'd rather miss with production and consistency, which I think are about 75% accurate, than I would with flash in the pan or something that is wow factor, which I think is probably about 30 to 40% success rate. So thanks for calling in again. Two straight weeks. I'm a huge fan of that. And great questions that were asked.
Oh, thanks. No problem.
All right. Have a good day.
Right. You have a nice day.
Thank you. And we have another caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Chris. My name is Diana, and I wanted to know how you think the Saints are going to fare this year.
Great question. I am from New Orleans, a New Orleans fan. How are the Saints going to fare this year? One of the things that happened in the season that I was a fan of was the trade of Jimmy Graham to Seattle for Max Unger. In the 2014 season, Breeze was not only more times than he had been in the 3 years prior, but sacked more times than he had been the 3 years prior combined. You get strength at offensive line position for a guy who can throw the ball. You end up with the opportunity to win games. The Saints, when they were a great team and a Super Bowl caliber team, were able to run the ball late in games and effectively pass the ball because they had interior offensive line players. So the Max Unger trade, huge, very huge. So on the offensive side of the ball, I think they did great things. On the defensive side of the ball, they made a lot of adjustments that fit what Rob Ryan wants to do on defense. Handsy corners, safeties that are going to hit, and defensive line / edge rushers who are going to get up the field. Hopefully Junior Gallette stops being an idiot and just plays ball. So I think the Saints will probably win the NFC South. Don't think they have the talent yet to win the Super Bowl, but I definitely see them as a playoff team and a team that can be a threat, not really on the same level, but a threat to the Detroits, the Green Bays, and the Dallases of the world, and even Seattle.
That sounds good. I'm going to miss your show in spite of not being able to hear it a lot. But I appreciate your opinion on football a lot.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Definitely good to get a call from a Saints fan and someone who appreciates my football knowledge, the little that I have at this point. But, no, it's good stuff.
Well, you take care. I know your show is about to go off in about 10 seconds, so I wanted to make sure I got my call in to you. I'm glad that I was able to. You take care.
Absolutely. Thank you. And
you're welcome.
It's still going to be on for a little bit. We're going to record over, so It's all good. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate the call. And who that?
Who that? And I look forward to the Saints winning the division, like you said. And I'm going to let you next. Yeah. And I'll let your next caller get in.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Who that?
All right, folks, we're going to finish up the last two teams in the NFC West. Again, having callers come on the show, always a great thing. I love answering questions instead of just going over the prepared material because it gives me a chance to think and also interact. I mean, it's kind of boring talking straight to the screen. So thank you, callers, for calling in and getting me to think a little bit. Now, the Seattle Seahawks, who are up next, won the NFC. You know, some people might say, okay, they lucked up into doing it, but guess what? The majority of teams that have won in a sport have had at least one lucky game in that season, no matter what the sport is, especially in football. Even dominant teams like the 2001 Miami Hurricanes, whether it was tip ball, Ed Reed intercepting the ball, a defensive lineman intercepting the ball, Ed Reed taking it from him against Boston College and running it back for a touchdown to win, I think 1915 or something like that, to Seattle last year having an onside kick bounce off the shoulder pad of Green Bay, to Tom Brady having the tuck rule exist and something that if you polled every player on that field, not any one of them would have known what the heck a tuck rule was. That's the great thing about football. It's a singularity. It's not like a series in baseball or hockey or basketball where things can get themselves figured out and the better team will likely come through and win. It's a situation where you have one shot and one chance to prove that you're better than the opposition. And by doing so, you can possibly win a championship. It takes 3 to 4 wins, and then you get the job done. So Seattle got the job done in the NFC and went to the Super Bowl. And they had a few picks, 8 picks in this particular draft. Now, Seattle has been lambasted a few years back. I think it was 3 years ago. I rated a C minus as the grade for the draft that year. I only liked a few picks. I liked the Bobby Wagner pick. I liked the Russell Wilson pick as both caliber picks. Then I had a C plus on the Bruce Irvin pick because I just did. And then some players I had D plus grades. Anyway, that was an F grade draft to some people. And then they had questionable drafts after that. But guess what? Who's been the best team in the NFL for the last 3-plus years? Or 3 years or so? It's been Seattle. So they know what they're doing. So with that in mind, all I can do is do my job, which is to assess what I see and what I think. Seattle, continue to prove me and other people who are giving you bad grades wrong. But as far as I was concerned this year, I was not as impressed with Seattle's drafts as I've been in the past. I gave it a C. And I'll tell you why. Second round, they didn't have a first-round pick. 63rd overall pick. Frank Clark, defensive end out of Michigan, gave it a C+. The plus comes from the fact that Frank Clark has physical ability. The fact that it's only a C grade comes from the fact that they didn't vet out the fact that this guy he's got some demons going on, and they got to figure out whether or not he's going to be able to be what they need him to be from the face of the franchise. So they get a pass rusher, an edge rusher, that's got the little nasty on him, but let's see if that nasty might be too much for him. Third round, 69th overall pick, Tyler Lockett, wide receiver out of Kansas State, gave it a B+. Big fan of this pick and this player. You know, I had him rated a little lower than this. Same point in time, who cares? This guy, all he did his whole time at Kansas State was ball out. Catch every pass. Do what he needed to do. Oh, and lit it up as a return man. This is the type of player that wins you championships while other people were looking at guys running 4.3s. And being stupid and drafting the top 5 every doggone year. Fourth round, 130th overall selection, Terry Poole, guard out of San Diego State, gave it a C. Not as familiar with Poole as I am with some other people, but I understand what they're doing. See, the thing they're doing is they're improving the interior line, as they got rid of Max Unger in a trade for Jimmy Graham. Now they have Sweezy in the middle. So they need some help at guard position. And apparently they like Terry Poole. Same thing for the fourth round, 134th overall pick, Mark Giowinski, guard out of West Virginia, gave it another C grade. Again, I figured that Quentin Spann would be the guy at guard who went drafted from there, but apparently they saw something that I didn't. Improving that interior line was the plan, though. Fifth round, 170th overall pick, Ty Smith, cornerback out of Towson, C+. I actually like Ty Smith. I don't think that he fits exactly what they like to do, but they might use him as a slot corner more than a guy on the outside of the boundary. So let's see how they end up using this young man. Sixth round, 209th overall pick, Ubum Gwachum, defensive end out of Oregon State. Gave it a C. You know, the familiarity they have with him is more than the familiarity that I have with him. But they like to get guys who are active to come off. You play three or four downs, come in as hard as you can get off the doggone field. Because guess what? We don't need you being lackadaisical because it's an 8-9 play drive. We need you going as hard as you can for 2, 3, 4 plays. So they load up on the defensive line. Sixth round, 214th overall pick, Christian Sokoli, defensive tackle out of Buffalo. C+. Actually, good things, seen a little tape on him, and he's pretty active in the middle. And I think that he can be very useful for this defensive line. And you see what Seattle's doing. They've had 7 picks already, 5 of which were on the defensive line or offensive line. That's getting the job done. They know where their money's made. Seventh round, 148th overall pick, Ryan Murphy, strong safety out of Oregon State, gave it a C. Again, don't see the same impact that you see from some other guys with Murphy, but then again, who cares? He's their guy. And here's two guys that might make the roster because I think they both play Seattle-style football. Quishon Neely, linebacker out of Georgia Tech, and Tristan Wade, free safety out of UT San Antonio. Both play a little nasty, especially Wade, who is about 115 pounds soaking wet. I really think he weighs 175. And he's a guy who just tracks the ball. He's like a mini Earl Thomas. And then the St. Louis Rams, up last, the Show Me State. 9 picks in this draft, and let's see what they were able to do. They've had some good drafts in the past. First round, 10th overall selection, Todd Gurley, running back out of Georgia, gave it an A. You know, while they didn't need Gurley, you know, they have Trey Mason, they had Zach Stacy 2 years ago, who's the guy. Who the heck passes over a guy who's this good? Not Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher says, look, if you're not ready, week one, we already had a guy who was starting. But we don't pass over this type of talent. And I commend them for not, because it would have been stupid to. Second round, 57th overall pick, Rob Havenstein, tackle out of Wisconsin, A+. Reason being is while he might slide in the guard, they're strengthening the offensive line. They're protecting whoever is back there, quarterback, and being better in the run game. Big kudos to Jeff Fisher for that. You know, I've had some ill things to say about Jeff Fisher, that his job has been saved by the likes of Vince Young in the past, and that he's had some really poor coaching efforts at some point in time. But he does know how to coach. You know, don't get me wrong. It's just, I think that I don't give credit what credit's due to a guy like Vince Young, and they just kind of poop on it and say, oh, well, it was Jeff Fisher. Yeah, yeah. Jeff Fisher also started Kerry Collins over him. So he's made some poor choices in his past, too. Third round, 72nd overall pick, Jamon Brown, tackle out of Louisville, gave it an A. So you got 3 A picks, A+, A. Again, strengthening the line. I like what Brown has to offer, and I think that he could find himself being a starter on that line because he's an improvement over some of the offensive linemen. Both of these guys are. Third round, 89th overall pick, Sean Mannion, quarterback out of Oregon State, gave it a C+. You say why? While I don't think Mannion is a third-round caliber guy, I don't have a real issue with him going in the third round, especially when he's a Jeff Fisher type of guy. If you have a type of quarterback, I'd rather you pick your guy that fits your scheme and your system than another guy who doesn't fit it and say, oh, well, we'll figure it out. Because that's just stupid. It's like asking someone who you're going to be in a relationship with to be completely different from what they actually are. It's stupid. So, goes to Jeff Fisher on that for with his type of quarterback. Fourth round, 119th overall pick. Andrew Donnell, tackle out of Iowa. Gave it a C. Thought that there were better options, and at this point, going this heavy on the line would be a little redundant, especially with some of the talent that's out there, and the fact that you do need receiver help, and there were some good ones left on the board at this point. Sixth round, 201st overall pick. They apparently got the memo, and they went with a wide receiver out of Missouri named Bud Sasser. Gave it a B. While Sasser has been inconsistent, I understand why they picked him. Sasser does pursue the ball very well and should be a guy who can make the roster. He'll probably end up being the fourth receiver on this particular roster. but he is a differing guy from what they have in the Stedden Baileys and Tevon Austins of the world. In the sixth round, 215th overall pick, Cody Winchman, guard out of Fresno State. I hope you're paying attention here. Apparently, Jeff Fisher has lost his because he's picked a fourth offensive lineman in the first seven picks. Gave it a C. Again, I guess it's the war of figuring out who's actually step up, so you pick as many as possible, shuffle them around, and figure it out. Seventh round, 24th overall pick, Bryce Hager, inside linebacker from Baylor. Gave it a B. He'll be a good field guy behind James Laurinaitis, a guy who can come in, especially in passing downs and sub-packages, and work very well at that middle linebacker position. Seventh round, 227th overall pick, Martin Effetti, defensive end slash defensive tackle out of Memphis, B+. I like what Effetti can offer to this defensive line. I think that he's an active guy up front, weighing in about 285 pounds, can play defensive tackle when they go into the passing packages or play strong side end. He can do both very well, and I think that he'll be a good fit on this defensive line. Here's some undrafted free agents that could make the roster. Amon Claiborne, cornerback out of Northwestern State, cousin of Mo Claiborne, former LSU and corner and first-round pick of the Dallas Cowboys. This has great ball skills. Went undrafted likely because he doesn't have the physical tools that some other people possess. Cameron Lynch, outside linebacker from Syracuse. Those Syracuse linebackers were good this year, folks. They flew around. They made a lot of plays. If you watched any of the games this year, you got to see that. Louis Trinka-Passat, defensive tackle out of Iowa, a little undersized, played a little awkward because he's not the flight of foot, but he's always active, and I think that that's the type of player that they want on their defensive line. And then last but not least, Daryl Williams, offensive tackle out of USF. Golden Bull, yes, that's the team and the school that gave me my degree. I think that he could also compete in that particular setup. You know, the first two guys I think are way better than the next two guys who are on the offensive line. And Brown and Heavenstein being guys who are possible day one starters. So Daryl Williams can compete too, and I hope that he does well. Folks, that's it. 256 drafted players, bunch of undrafted free agents, an average of four per team, and that's it. That's my show. So I've had a good time doing this show. It's been enjoyable, but it is time for it to come to a close. So for the Football Game Plan Radio Network, this is Chris James signing off. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at CJFlorida9. I'll answer questions. And you never know. This show might creep back up at some point in the future, but for now, it is on hiatus. Enjoy your weekend. Football is not that far away. We're inside of 100 days. We're down about 70. So let's get it done. Bye-bye, folks.